express my appreciation for your coming this afternoon. We have visitors among us. We're glad to see you. And encourage you to get a Bible and join in our study by searching the Scriptures with us. With tomorrow being set aside in our country as Memorial Day, a day to remember those who gave their lives in service of our country, I thought it would be a good time to capitalize on this opportunity to talk to us about some spiritual memorials. We're familiar with memorials. We have them all around us, don't we? Maybe you've been to Washington, D.C., and you've seen the Washington Monument or the Lincoln Memorial. Did you know that there are a number of memorials scattered throughout the pages of divine inspiration? A number of these are in the Old Testament, and there are a few that even make their appearance in the New Testament. And I'd like to call a few of those to our attention. We're first introduced to a memorial in the book of Exodus and the third chapter. The setting finds the Lord's people in Egypt in bondage and afflicted by their taskmasters. They're crying for deliverance. The Lord appears to Moses in a burning bush and says, "Come, that I may send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And among the things that Moses said unto God, as recorded in verse 13, "Behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Here's God's response. "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." Did you know that God's name, I am, is one of the Bible memorials? In verse 15, God moreover said unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever." Listen. "And this is my memorial unto all generations." So God is remembered as the great I am. That's the meaning and concept behind a memorial, something that keeps memory alive. God's remembered by his name, I am. Another memorial of the Old Testament takes us further into the book of Exodus. As the Lord's people are preparing for departure from Egypt, there were a series of 10 plagues, you recall, that were performed upon the Egyptians, that all the earth may know that God in heaven above is indeed the one true God. The final plague, the death of the firstborn, is recorded in Exodus chapters 11 and 12. But God made provision for his people to be protected from that. And that involved the institution of what's called the Lord's Passover. It involved the people slaying a lamb and taking the blood of the lamb and applying it to the side post and the upper door post, that's the lintel, and remaining in the house. And as the Lord made his way among the execution of that plague, when he saw the blood upon the doorpost, he'd pass over. And so that's how it got its name, as the Lord's Passover. This became a memorial. It would be observed annually, once each year. And as you think about Memorial Day tomorrow, the Lord's people in ancient times had a Memorial Day, the Passover. As Exodus 12 and in verse 14 records, "This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." In chapter 13 and verse 9, "It shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth." What did this day serve to remind God's people about? "That with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt." Exodus 13 and verse 9. And so the Passover is among the memorials of the Old Testament. Again in the book of Exodus, this time in chapter 17, I call your attention to a written book that became a memorial for God's people. In verse 8, the setting finds the people of Amalek coming and fighting with Israel in a place called Rephidim. "And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But if you can imagine holding your hand up, eventually it's going to become so heavy it's difficult to hold up any longer. That's what happened on this occasion. Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone, put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. They held up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Maybe you've heard of holding up hands. Maybe it's been said in a prayer that the hands of those who do the Lord's work, maybe those who serve as gospel preachers or elders, that you hold up their hands. That's where this comes from, this setting. That they'll be encouraged, that they'll be strengthened. And in verse 14, notice that the Lord instructs Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. That may very well be one of the first written books of which we read about in the Bible, the Word of God. As this written book, a record of these goings-ons, would be a memorial that would keep memory alive of this holding up of hands that the Lord's people might be victorious against Amalek. And then again, in the book of Exodus, there are several of these in the book of Exodus, as you can well see. In chapter 28, I read of memorial stones. Notice beginning in verse 9. As instruction was given concerning the priest office, how thou shalt take two onyx stones, engrave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and on the other six names of the rest, according to their birth. With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. Thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of what? What's that next word? Memorial. Unto the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And so, etching and engraving on stone as a memorial is an ancient practice, of which we read back in the book of Exodus, in chapter 28. You're familiar with memorial stones. Did you know that the Lord made use of that among His Old Testament people? In Exodus 28. And in chapter 39, you have the actual record where these stones were provided, where the etching work was done, as chapter 39 and verse 6 says, they wrought onyx stones and graven as signets are graven with the names of the children of Israel, and those were put on the shoulders of the ephod for a memorial to the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses. Then in Exodus chapter 30, I read where atonement money became a memorial. In Exodus 30 and in verse 12, the Lord said to Moses, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, from time to time they'd count the people, take a census. And when that was done, they shall give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give every one that passeth among them that are numbered, and he gives the amount that would be required, like half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. And half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. When they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Now, verse 16 is what I want you to observe. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And so this atonement money that was collected when the census was taken is among the memorials of the Old Testament. But also when you make your study of spiritual memorials in the book of Leviticus, several times burnt offering is associated with a spiritual memorial. Like in Leviticus chapter 2 and in verse 12, the Bible talks about that. Beginning back in verse 1, he talks about a meat offering unto the Lord. It makes for a good study in the opening chapters of Leviticus to underscore these different kinds of offerings, like chapter 1 and verse 4, a burnt offering. Chapter 2 and verse 1, a meat offering. Chapter 3 and 1, a peace offering. Chapter 4 and verse 3 talks about the sin offering. Chapter 5 and verse 6, a trespass offering. So there were lots of different offerings. And all of the altars of Leviticus point to the fact that Christ would be offered for us. He is our sacrifice. But in the connection with the meat offering of Leviticus chapter 2, notice in verse 1 that when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon, and he shall bring it to Aaron's sons the priest, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And so, connection is made with this meat offering unto the Lord of this being burned as a memorial upon the altar. And then, as I made my way through the Old Testament, thinking about spiritual memorials, did you know that in the book of Leviticus in chapter 23, there was a memorial that concerned the blowing of trumpets? In chapter 23 of Leviticus, and in verse 23, the Lord instructed Moses, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord." And so here's a memorial day in which is connected the blowing of trumpets. And then in Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 through 7, the Lord instructed, "Thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in two rows, 6 on a row upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row." What's this about, this bread preparing? Well, verse 7 says that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Frankincense was combined with the bread, that it might be a memorial unto the Lord. And then in the book of Numbers and the 5th chapter, I read of another spiritual memorial. Notice in Numbers chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, where the Bible says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man's wife go aside, and commit a trespass against him, and a man lie with her carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept close, and she be defiled, and there be no witness against her, neither she be taken with the manner, and the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. Or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled, then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering of jealousy." You might underscore those words. That's all this is about, is the offering of jealousy that would be offered when a man was jealous over his wife. And notice verse 15 says, "An offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance." That's what a memorial does. It brings things to remembrance, like the Lincoln Memorial brings to your remembrance things about Mr. Lincoln, one of our great presidents. And so this offering of jealousy would bring iniquity to remembrance, and the priest would bring her near and set her before the Lord. And in verse 18, the priest would set the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head and put the offering of memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering. And so this offering of jealousy that is discussed and described in Numbers chapter 5 is among the spiritual memorials. And then in the book of Numbers and the 16th chapter, I read of another spiritual memorial. Number 16 and in verse 36, the Bible finds the Lord speaking unto Moses, instructing him to tell Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that they take up the censers out of the burning and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls, let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar. For they offered them before the Lord, therefore they are hallowed. And they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers, wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar. Look at verse 40. To be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. Remember, this was stated in connection with the rebellion of Korah and those that were in company with him, how they had led a rebellion against Moses and Aaron, God's appointed leadership. They had said in Numbers 16 and verse 3, ye take too much upon you. And Moses said in verse 9, seemeth it but a small thing unto you? And these golden censers were a memorial, lest, as verse 40 says, there would be those who would come near as Korah his company. But also when I went through the Old Testament and made a list of Bible memorials, I came across Numbers chapter 31 and in verse 48, where gold was used for a memorial. When the officers, which are over thousands of the host, the captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, came near unto Moses, they said, thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war which are under our charge, and there lacketh not one man of us. We have therefore brought an oblation for the Lord. What every man hath gotten of jewels of gold, chains, bracelets, rings, earrings, and tablets, to make an atonement for our souls before the Lord. And Moses and Eleazar, the priest, took the gold of them, even all wrought jewels, and all the gold of the offering that they offered, up to the Lord, of the captains of thousands, of the captains of hundreds, was 16,750 shekels. And verse 54 says, Moses and Eleazar, the priest, took the gold of the captains of thousands and of hundreds and brought it into the tabernacle of the congregation for a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord. You remember in Exodus 30, where instruction was given concerning the atonement money at the census. You see that being put into action, put into practice in the book of Numbers, which gets its name from the numbering of the people that takes place in the opening and in the close of that book. And then a final memorial of the Old Testament that I read about is in the book of Joshua and the 4th chapter. When you open the pages of Joshua, it ought to come to mind that you're dealing with the period of conquest, as the Lord's people are taking possession of the promised land. At this particular time, they've just crossed the Jordan, stepping foot on the land that floweth with milk and honey. And in Joshua 4 and 1, when it came to pass that the people were clean passed over Jordan, the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. What was the purpose of these stones? Taking these 12 stones out of the Jordan River. Verse 6 says, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? What are these stones about? What do these stones represent? Here's the answer. Verse 7. The waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial, and the children of Israel forever. And so these 12 stones of Jordan were a spiritual memorial to keep memory alive how the waters of Jordan were cut off by the Lord so His people could pass over into the promised land. And it's an enduring reminder of the fact that God kept His promise to the patriarch Abraham back in the book of Genesis 12 when He called out of Ur of the Chaldees and said, I'll give thy seed this land. God is a promise-making, promise-keeping God. And as Joshua 21 affirms, that God gave them all the land that He promised, verses 43 through 45. And so there's 12 memorials just within the pages of the Old Testament. But let me suggest to you three that are recorded in the New Testament. Are there any that might come to mind? Just think within your own mind. One that perhaps you might think about is that which is recorded in the book of Matthew in chapter 26. In verses 6 through 13. At this particular time, the Lord is in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. And as He's at Simon's house, there came unto Him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. She takes this precious ointment and pours it on His head, the head of Jesus, as He sat at meat. But when His disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? You wasted that precious ointment. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, He said, why trouble ye the woman? Why are you bothering her? Don't disturb her. For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Now watch verse 13. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. It shows the regard the Lord had for the sacrifice that this woman made of this precious substance in using it for the Lord. You know, there may be those who think that, you know, what you're doing is it's too valuable. Why waste upon the Lord? Or upon the Lord's service. But I want to suggest to you that this shows that you and I need to recognize that when we use our substance for the Lord's purposes, it's not a waste. The Lord wanted that to be remembered. And not just remembered at that time, at that place, but He said, in the whole world, that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. And isn't it interesting that we can talk about that here in May of 2014 in Terre Haute, Indiana? You know why that is? Because the Lord made a memorial out of that and saw fit to record that for future generations. And I learned that what I contribute and what I use and give for the Lord and for His purposes is no waste, but is valuable. But let me suggest to you another memorial, even within this same chapter. And that is one that is observed and commemorated every first day of the week. And that's the Lord's Supper. In the book of Matthew, in chapter 26 and verse 26, we find another setting where the Lord is eating with His disciples. He's eating the Passover. And it's on the night of His betrayal. The Bible records that He took bread and blessed it. That is, He gave thanks for it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, or all of you drink it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I'll not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. The Lord's Supper is a memorial of the Lord, the fact that He lived and that He died, It keeps memory alive, as when Paul set in order the proper observance of the Lord's Supper in the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11. He reminded them of the fact that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And he said, "This do in remembrance of me," 1 Corinthians 11:24. And he did likewise with the cup in verse 25. That's why when we come together on the first day of the week, we keep this memorial. As Acts 20 and verse 7 says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, inasmuch as every week has a first day, we keep this memorial every Lord's Day. What a privilege it is to be able to come together on a day like this and with other disciples break bread, eat the bread, drink the cup in remembrance of our Lord's death. And we'll do that until he comes, as 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26 talks about. And then a final memorial that I want to suggest to you from the New Testament comes from the book of Acts in the 10th chapter, when we read of the first Gentile that is converted. He's a military man. His name is Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was devout, feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. What a good man. And notice, as he sees a vision about the ninth hour of the day, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, "Cornelius." And we looked on him, he was afraid, and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." Cornelius's prayer and his alms were a memorial before God. And that, they reminded God of something. God had promised salvation to the Jew and to the Gentile, as prophesied in the book of Joel 2:28-32, "I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All nations shall flow unto it." Isaiah 2:2-3. The blessings of salvation would not be limited to the Jewish people, but also to the Greeks, to the Gentile world. As Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And on the next day, about noon, as Peter's on the housetop, about lunchtime, there's this great sheet thing that's let down out of heaven, in which there are all manner of unclean beasts. And he hears a voice saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And the basic message of that is that salvation has been brought down, not just for the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And so this memorial, closing memorial of the New Testament, is in connection with salvation that's been brought down for all people. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all," Titus 2, and then verse 11. God made provision for you and for me to be saved. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life," John 3, and then verse 16. And aren't you glad and grateful that in Christ, Abraham's seed, shall all families of the earth be blessed? Paul said, "If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Galatians 3:26-29. Isn't it fitting that as many have Memorial Day on their mind, that we scan the pages of the inspired book and call attention to some spiritual memorials? Memorials and Memorial Day is not a new idea, but God has made use of memorials all down through the ages. And we have one that we keep and observe every first day of the week. And how grateful we should be that God so loved us and commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It may be that you've not yet rendered obedience to the gospel, and all things have been made ready that you might do just that. Recognizing your need for the Lord, that there's sin in your life, and you need to have that washed away. And Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sins, Matthew 26:28, and baptism washes away sins, Acts 22:16. Would you come believing in the Lord with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, to confess your faith, that you believe that Christ is God's Son? We'll take you and baptize you, And every sin that you've ever committed in your past can be forgiven and forgotten, washed away, made clean, white as snow. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel, but you've become unfaithful. You've drifted away. You've counted the blood wherewith you were sanctified an unholy thing. You trampled underfoot the Son of God. Would you repent of that? Would you seek God's forgiveness by praying about that? And we'll be happy to pray with you. We'll pray for you, just like Peter would do for Simon in Acts chapter 8. However we can assist you in making your life right with God, would you make it known by coming to the front? And now we stand and sing together.